Praise the Lord. Okay. Some of you got the questions earlier. I have index cards. You may have, some of you may have them, some of you may not. If you don't have them, don't worry about it. I just was trying to get a census on this question. According to the book of Romans, which of your sins have been forgiven? Past, present, future, or all? If you could fill that out, I don't want you to answer, you're gonna, you know, write it on the paper, hand it up to the front, and I'm gonna try to collect those if I could, okay? And if you just write it, if you have a pen, don't worry about it. We're not gonna take too much time with that. We'll deal with that later. Okay. My name is Leroy Reed. I'm from Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. And I'm truly excited and honored to have an opportunity to share the Word of God with you. How many of you are excited to be here this weekend? Yeah. Amen. I hope this never gets boring or stale to you, because you are definitely a unique group of individuals that God has chosen and called to His grace. And you just believed it. You believed the message, and it's making all the difference. And it's going to make a bigger difference once we meet in eternity. So right now it seems to be somewhat, you know, ambiguous. Some of us are unclear on every facet and every issue that it entails, but we try to make it clear. We're going to talk about some things today that will, I definitely want you to be somewhat thought-provoking. We have an opportunity to have some actual DVDs out front. They may be on the table over there, but they're on the table because I know our time is going to be short and we are definitely going to have to move ahead. But with those index cards, if you could just hand them up to the front, you know, don't worry, it's nothing big. It's something I'm going to add in a little later to the response that we have from there, and just try to add some excitement to our fellowship today. You know, we came a long way. I heard Tennessee is here. Tennessee, actually, I think my brother here. Tennessee is, through Kentucky? What else? Yeah. Okay, so Canada, yeah, I know, Rodney. Yes. Connecticut, right. Canada is Roxy. Okay. Well, truly, you came from a lot of, what I'm trying to point out making is that we didn't just come from next door. We're here from distances, and we definitely are glad to have each other's fellowship. And I definitely am cherishing this moment to have an opportunity. My wife, Pamela, is in the corner. Thank God for her. And my granddaughter, Cassidy also is with us. So we just, if you see them, stop and say hi. We don't want to waste this opportunity. You know, we come a long distance. You know, I try, and this is out of my character because I'm really just a reserved person to myself, but I found that what Christ has done for me is so exciting that I have to come out of my shell and just try to be aggressively nice, because not because of me, but it's because of Christ in me. You know, and this is what we're going to talk about. I mean, this should be our motto. This is what we should be all about. We should really try to go out of our way. And that's what we're going to talk about, the newness of life. It's putting down. You know, everybody talk about they have a certain personality that they have. Some people are more passive, more meek. Some people are explosive and loud. Well, you need to find where Christ can fit in, because He's the only one that's going to matter at the end of the day. And however you need to adjust your personality so that you can be more conducive to spreading the Word of God, that's what we need to do. And I found that that's what I need to do. I couldn't just try to be reserved and cool to myself. And, you know, I had to open up. So today, that's what we hopefully can do. Let's look at the Word of God. Praise the Lord for my brother. Open us in prayer. So, 2 Timothy 2 and 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things, is the thing that we have here today. And this is what we're going to actually be in Romans 7. Some of you may have known just by the topic, newness of the Spirit. That's where we're going to be. We're going to be in Romans 7 today. But this text is very important, because it's very important for you to consider what the Word of God is saying tonight. And just like it says here, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Okay. I want to wait because I guess it's tied in.
It would stand up.
Okay.
Testing.
Battery's dead.
Yes, you're, oh, we back, okay.
Yeah, so consider what I say and the Lord give thee understanding. That's what happened to me, right? Testing. You just put new battery in.
Testing, 1, 2.
You get 10 extra minutes?
Yes.
Is there an electrician in the house?
Yes. Just want to double check these batteries here.
It says low battery.
While we're getting that together.
This is going to be a problem. This is going to be a problem. Sister Rita knows this is going to be a problem, right? We'll do what we can do. Is that fine? I'll try to stay contained. Well, nothing, I'm very excited about. Do not take the excitement and, you know, take it out of context. I'm just excited about what Christ has done for me. That's why I preach the gospel. I preach because I was so excited about the good news that I heard. I just wanted to tell somebody else about it. I never thought I would wind up preaching. Even today, this is just God. It's not something I desire to do. I didn't desire to drive all the way from Buffalo to New York to somewhere I have no idea where I'm at. If the navigation messes up like this, batteries and this, I'm lost. I really am. I have no idea where I am. I'm not far from Cincinnati, right? Okay, well, we got people in Cincinnati, so. Okay, but yeah, I'm absolutely lost. So we're going to go. Okay, just keep going. Can I start the message or? Okay. Because that's just fodder there, you know. We want to get to the Word of God. So, you know, we're considering what I say, you know, consider what the Word of God says actually is what we want to make reference to. And the Lord give the understanding in all things. And we want to use a passage of Scripture in the book of Romans. Let's go there. Romans 7th chapter. This passage, this area of Scripture is so, it's so profound to me because it's actually the area of Scripture that I actually began to understand that God was doing something different than what the traditional churches was telling me about. And I clung and held to it. I only understood one piece of the truth that's revealed in Romans, the 7th chapter. But at the time, it was enough to transform my form of thinking towards the Scripture and to search for more. So much so, I actually told someone else my testimony the other day that it was something that wasn't contrast. It was a contrast between faith alone and faith plus works. And every time I asked somebody the answer to it, they would give me some convoluted answer that really didn't spiritually quench my spiritual appetite. So I had to keep pressing forward. Some of you know what I mean with that? Amen. I ask a lot of questions just for the sake of trying to get an understanding of how much you're following me, and then I can move on without having to do a lot of foundational information. Because sometimes what happens is that when you don't build that foundation, you go, you know, you build a message, and a lot of people look at you like, I have no idea what he just talked about. So, you know, I like to take the time. I learn elementary. I learn very basically. You know, I try to deal with things to a very, very basic, fundamental aspects to things. Romans, the 7th chapter. We're going to read verses 5 and 6. Verses 5 and 6. This feedback is going to get me here. Romans 7, 5, and 6. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. This area of Scripture
is so important to all of us, because the Apostle Paul begins to lay out the things that are true about us that has never been spoken before in the scriptures. From Genesis all the way to Malachi, from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, you will not see the information that the Apostle Paul is laying out in the book of Romans here. In this area right here, in this particular two verses, he states something that he has been talking about and building on for the last few chapters. But now he really is beginning to give you some information that is important for you and I to know. And the reason I say it's important, because sometimes I have conversations with individuals, even individuals that have been following grace for some time, and they're somewhat confused about some of the aspects of what this verse entails. And it's important that we understand it, because for us to effectively communicate this truth, we need to understand it for ourselves. We have to get it. You know how this works? The reason I can forgive you is because I realize that I have been what? And that comes from the word of God, rightly divided through the pen of the Apostle Paul, letting me know that Christ has forgiven me because, you know, he forgave me because of what Christ has accomplished for me on Calvary's cross. And now once I receive that and experience that, now based on that, I extend forgiveness to someone else. Amen. Not based on a book that I read on Oprah's book club. No, really, you understand? And we're going to talk about that too. Our forgiveness toward each other has to be based upon sound doctrine. Amen. It can't be based upon the fact that one day you realize that holding bitterness and holding unforgiveness was just stunning your growth, and you never could grow, so you learn how to forgive and forget because you learn how to do it. You think you're getting the same result, but who is God getting the glory out of that? See, God is not getting the glory out of that. And this is some of the things that we're going to look at here. Romans, the 7th chapter. Now, you see, and I'm sorry about this. I use the board, and it's really for me to stay in town because I'll go way over time. So it's really for me just to try to jot enough things down where I know I've got to a certain point. But I hope some of you can see this because it will be somewhat helpful. We just read Romans, the 7th chapter. In the 5th verse, and it lays out some dynamic information here. Look what it says here. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto what?
Death.
See, this is an important concept. This is an important truth that we begin to understand, that the Bible lets us know that when we were.
Amen. Were.
Amen. Somebody is with me here. When we were in the flesh. So in other words, if the Bible says we were in the flesh as it pertains to the tenses of time, when is that?
Past.
Amen. Past tense. So we know that this is the past. It's letting you know about some things that were true about you before you believed. And this is something that you have to really hold on to. You were in the flesh. Are you in the flesh now?
No, sir.
Are you? Now, see, this is, and somebody said, yeah, and this is why I wanted to deal with that particular topic. This word, flesh, now I don't go to Greek. I'm not one of those people that try to go Greek, but this is something that, you know, gets a little tricky. So I had to go back to the Greek to see exactly what was this word. The word is sarx. And it stands for every time you see anything pertaining to the flesh, the body, the members. If you see that, if that's what it'll be in the Greek. But there is a word here that when you look at it, you'll find out. When you look at this word flesh, you'll see that it has different meanings throughout the scripture. I mean, throughout Pauline epistles, it's 26 times in Romans, and I believe it's 13 times in Galatians. And you have to know what it's talking about when you read it. And we're going to deal with three different aspects of that particular word and how it's determined. And you determine it based on its context and which it's written in. Did you know that that's how we define things? You use the Bible to define your word.
Amen.
I mean, a good Bible dictionary is good, but you really use the Bible to define your words and define your information and have it in context so that then you'll understand exactly how it is meant to be used. And once we do that, we'll find that we'll definitely give God the glory. So what we want to see here, this is something we want to pull some dynamics out of this verse of Romans 5. For when we were in the flesh, time passed, the motions of sins, which were by the law. So we see here, the motions of sins that were by the law did work with what?
Death. Death.
Now, I know everybody can't deal it, but this is flesh, law, sin, and death. This is almost, it's a law, actually, and I'll write that in there. Does anybody know what the name of this law is?
Law of sin and death.
Amen. Now, you just answered two questions in a row. And that's great. But I mean, I love that. That's the fact of the matter is that this is the law of sin and death. And this is something that the Apostle Paul is laying out to all of us, because there's dynamics of the truth of our gospel and the truth that is to us that we need to be able to practically explain to individuals. And the Bible lays the information out clearly, and we need to be able to understand it so that when we get in the conversation, there's some things about our faith that we should be able to express. And this is the fact that this is the law of sin, of the law of sin and death. But the Apostle Paul in Romans, the 7th chapter, is letting you know something else about that. He's going to let you know something else that this is. Look what he says here. But now we are delivered. Now, Brother Ted, I believe, made a reference. Whenever you see that "but now," you know something is drastic that's just made. It's talking about our present state. Our present state. Now look what it says. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the what?
The spirit.
And not in what?
The spirit.
You know what I found out? Not only is this the law of sin and death, what else is it? Amen. The oldness of the letter. Now, I hope that all of you are with us here. And I hate to turn my back here, but I like to write down, because this is going to let us know exactly where we're going. It's going to make a kind. The reason we have to lay this out, because we want to contrast it with the newness of the spirit. Because we want to know exactly what is this newness of spirit. I remember I used to believe anytime you began to talk about spirit, spiritual things, it has something to do with that mystical feeling that came upon the church when the organist really started getting into that organ. Really? I mean, and it's sad, but it really is true. I really thought that the spirit was something that you just had to, you know, my grandfather was a bishop in the Church of God in Christ. And that's a Pentecostal church, for some of you that might know that. And what they had to do there, they tarried for the Holy Spirit. So what they were waiting for, they would make a spectacle. We had to sit in the front row, and we had to receive the Holy Ghost, they said. And you received it with the evidence of what?
Speaking in tongues.
So now spirit, when I came to the truth of understanding with God, my whole concept of what spirit was totally thwarted. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And the fact of the matter is, if you have not always understood right division and sound doctrine all your life, yours is as well. You can't bring anything into sound doctrine as if you already knew it. All things have become new. This is the truth.
Amen.
This is the truth. You can't bring your stuff in. And this is another thing we're going to look at in this text. We're really going to deal with Romans 7. I know I'm going to spend a little time. I'm going to try to keep me in within the parameters of time, if you can, Mike, because I want to really try to develop this as best as we can. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of the spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. This is another issue that we have, and I'm going to say a lot of things, and I really just want you to see whether you agree or disagree with it, just for the sake of time, because it builds it up. The law of the sin and death is based upon your relationship with which Adam, the first or the last Adam?
First.
Okay, so we can put this as the first Adam, right? See, that was a lot of Bible we just added right there, just by understanding that. So you could imagine that your newness of the spirit is going to be based upon your relationship with who?
Last Adam.
The last Adam. Who's the last Adam?
Right.
When we look at these issues, we have to have a working knowledge of these things, because each and every segment of these particular dynamics offer a segue. You ever pray for the Lord for a door of utterance to be opened? You know, I would hope that your family first, this is what dynamics, this is all we really talk about. We really want to touch our family first. Don't go outside your household or your family preaching the gospel and you have people, right? Do that first.
Amen.
Get those people. I mean, those are your family. But you know, at least the people, your family, your direct, you know, brothers, sisters, try to get them saved. And then your neighbors. Your neighbors should be influenced by who you are as a member of the body of Christ. The people on your job. There should be something about you that is different enough that somebody might want to see what must they do to be saved. And guess what? When that opportunity presents itself, you'll have the information to give them.
Amen.
Does that sound reasonable?
Yes, sir.
So we really want to equip ourselves. And this is why we turn it into a classroom, because it really is a situation where we want to equip ourselves with information to be more effective in communicating this gospel and just find a door of opportunity to so that we can come in. So when we lay things out like this, we're trying to get the different dynamics. So if somebody's talking about the law, we can bring it. If somebody's talking about sin, somebody's talking about death, somebody's talking about the flesh, somebody's talking about first Adam, somebody's talking about the law, sin, and death, somebody's talking about the oldness of the letter, newness of the spirit. If they're talking about any of those issues, we can get in there. And we're looking, and we have a desire to go in and begin to express these different issues here. So I'm going to begin to read some of this, and then I believe things will begin to develop. They'll begin to develop. We want to get into some scripture here. I want to go down, because I want to deal with Romans, the 7th chapter, and get right into this testimony. This testimony that the Apostle Paul has here. Now, this testimony is very important to me. Like I said, this is actually the testimony that I was reading when I found one truth in here. And then I just ran with it. And I'll share it with you in a moment here. Verse 15. Now, I usually have opportunity for questions, because I know I'm giving you a lot of information. I usually open the door for questions, but we probably won't have time. But I'll be here. And we've read this quite a bit. Verse 15 of Romans 7. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, what? That do I. You remember that? That was that testimony. This is the Apostle Paul that's really, he's expressing to us the truth about his present experience based upon the doctrine that has been developed in his heart, based upon what he's revealing to us in Romans, the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th chapter. He's giving us the information of his experience based upon his renewed mind from these other chapters, and now he's beginning to express it in a form of a testimony. And this is the struggle that he sees within himself. Verse 16, he says, "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good." Why would he consent unto the law that it was good if he do that which he would not? I mean, all those questions are the law. That's all it does, is point out that you're a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? You cannot perform the law.
Amen.
And this is something. Do you realize that even man in his purest state could never perform the law? And when I say pure state, what do you think man at his purest state?
Before the fall.
What somebody said it?
Before the fall.
Do you realize? Do you recognize that? Now I'm looking, because I want to see if there's any puzzlement in it. Do you realize man at his purest state, he could not perform the law? Let's go there. Let's go very briefly to Genesis. Genesis. And I use this quite, this is the DVD, by the way, that I was looking for a moment ago. It's on the table. It'll fill in some of the blanks about what we're talking about today, because I probably will run over a little bit. Genesis 2nd chapter. And just like our brother Jordan did earlier, I know that sometimes I might forget to say the chapter and verse. Genesis 2 and 17. Look at this. I want to share something with you here. Real brief. Some of you know it already, but I just want to show you that the flesh could never be justified in the sight of God, even before the fall. Look at this. 2:17. Some of you familiar with this. Verse 16, I'll start it there. And the Lord God commanded man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof," what's going to happen? What was told to them that will cause them to surely die if they do what?
To surely To eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Is that what God said?
Yes.
The day that you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you should surely die. That's the information that God said. Turn to Genesis 3 and 3. This is before the fall. I'll actually read 3 and 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of all the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the trees which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. What did she do? And you know what? She added to the word of God. That's one thing we see. She bare false witness on God. She said that he said, don't touch. Did God say don't touch the tree? Why didn't they die right there? Well, because God didn't give them the law. They weren't under the law. Only thing God told them not to do was eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But I wanted to show you that just to show you. Don't think that Adam and Eve, even in their purest sense, was perfect because they still had this. This is, for what God is doing with us in the newness of the Spirit, he doesn't want any of this.
Amen.
You know what I mean? None of this. No flesh. As well as the other term for flesh, and I'm going to give you three definitions, and this is for the time's sake. One definition of sarx, or that flesh, when we look through scriptures, is the fact that, and some of you have watched it on the internet, but this is just a recap of that. So the first definition I'd like to just share with you, it just simply is talking about skin. Flesh and blood shall not what? And here, it's just talking about the skin, the outer covering, flesh and blood. It's really just talking about the skin. It really is. That's all it's really talking about. Then there's another area of the scripture that's actually talking about the physical body. In fact, it made a reference to it here in Romans, the 7th chapter. We can go back to Romans 7. And I want to point that out as well. Romans 7, verse 5. We'll get back to the testimony. Romans 7, verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our what? That's the body. It did work in our mind. So sometimes when you see that the term in the Bible, you'll see that it's actually talking about the body. It's actually talking about the physical body, and that's often what it's talking about. But there's another aspect of the word that you really have to be aware of, because it's something that you've been freed of. And the flesh that is being made reference to in the 5th verse, where we were in the flesh, that is our old what?
Nature.
Old sin nature. That's the sin nature. That's no longer. It's another term for it. It's a few terms for it. The old. The body of the. Body of sins of the flesh. All of these terms are talking about this flesh right here. This is what God is making a reference to there. So we really want to keep those in mind, because when we begin to go through the verses, you're going to need to know which definition of flesh is the word of God making a reference to. This is what will stop the confusion. We need to let people know that we have been set 100% free because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And whenever I hear somebody say that sometime they still walk in the flesh, if you walk in the flesh, you're still under law, sin, and death. Because it's systematic.
There you go.
No flesh shall be justified in the sight of God. You understand what we're saying here? So if we're talking about the flesh, we understand that we're in the body. We're going to be in this physical body until the day of redemption. Amen. So we'll go a little further with that. So now, with that being said, the Apostle Paul gets some information. He goes forth here. Verse 17. I'll read 16 and 17. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. That's the purpose of the law. Now, this is the verse that we really want to deal with just a little. He says, now then it is no more I that do it, but what?
Sin.
Oh, here we go. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Have you ever heard someone say that in the scriptures? Have you ever read Psalms 51? where David is just crying about his sins and his transgressions and created me a new heart and renewed the right spirit within me and all that. That's his testimony. Paul's testimony is saying that, look what he says here. This is first of its kind. Nobody in the scripture ever said this. And he's saying it based upon the truth that has been developed in the book of Romans. Somebody made a reference to it earlier. If you don't understand the book of Romans, you need to reinvestigate it, because your foundation of your understanding as it pertains to sound doctrine will be off if you don't get the book of Romans. If you don't understand your justification, how God has made you righteous, if you don't understand your sanctification, how God has removed you from sin and placed you in Christ, and how you're daily being sanctified, and we're going to talk about that as well. And because you've been justified, you have the promise of glorification. You know that all goes hand in hand. And this is why we say this. If you've been justified, do you know that justification, sanctification, glorification all work in cahoots? You can't have one without the other. Romans the 8th chapter lets me know, to whom he justified, them he also glorified. That's the end of the process. Justification, you're going to be glorified. That's a glorious truth. That's an eternal security truth. If God justified you, made you right, he's going to glorify. You're going to receive glorification. You cannot separate the two. So when we look in the book of Romans and talk about any truth that pertains to justification, everything that pertains to sanctification is true about him, and everything that pertains to glorification is true as well. That's why we don't separate the truths from justification and sanctification, because they work in tandem. If you're justified, you are sanctified. And we'll talk about that in a moment. Now look at this. This is it. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now these are two terms I want you to group together. No more I. And then there's another term we're going to contrast this with. Yet not I. Because this is where the newness of the Spirit lies, right here. I want you to understand that God is doing something so fantastic with us that it's no more I there's no more I that sin, but sin that dwelleth in me. No more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And we're going to bring this yet not I truth in as well. He's basing his understanding of Romans the 7th chapter and the 17th verse on Romans the 6th chapter and the 11th verse. Let's look at that. Romans 6 and 11. Romans 6, 11. He says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know what reckon means? Likewise, count yourself, consider yourself dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he understands that he counts himself dead to sin based upon the truths that have been developed in the prior chapters. This is a glorious truth here. Let's go a little further in Romans, the 7th chapter here. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. This is some crucial information here. For I know that in me, in his what? In his flesh. That's his body, right? He knows that's in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Now look what he says here. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, what? Do you know why he doesn't know how to perform that which is good? He's saying something here. He's saying that for to will is present with me. Do you know that all of us brought our will into this? He has the will and the desire to do good. How many of us want to do good? Amen? We want to do good. He's saying, for to will is present with me. He has the desire to do that which is good. But look what it goes on to say. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. Do you know I had to change up some of my teaching when I came to the truth of what God's word? And everybody who teaches God's word, once a truth is revealed to you, you need to change it and line up with God's truth. Amen. I used to teach this. And I still do to a certain extent, but I have to use different dynamics. Positional and practical sanctification. You ever seen that?
Oh, yeah.
This is my position. This is my practice. And some would say that your practice is your performance. You ever heard that?
Yeah.
Okay, don't try to, they're getting quiet now.
Yeah.
But you ever heard that? Our position, this is who I am because of
Christ.
This is what I do because I am Christ. This is what I. This is how we used to teach it. This is the essence of who I am. This is the function of what I do. You ever heard that concept there?
Yeah.
When I ran across this truth in Romans, the 7th chapter, it made me change some things up here. And I hope that you see this before we leave, why we had to change this. Listen to what the Apostle Paul is saying. He's giving us some very intricate information here. And I'm going to get back to yet not I. You already really probably understand that. But he's giving us some very intricate information here as it pertains to what he sees here. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Turn to Philippians. Turn to Philippians 1 first. We can go to Philippians 1. Took me quite a long time to get there. Philippians 1, 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will do what? Do you know that somebody already has started a performance in your life? And guess what? It's not you. The newness of the Spirit is actually allowing Christ to live in you. Turn to Galatians 2 and 20. I'm trying to make this practical. I don't want to make this deep because I told you people have made spiritual things so deep for me I couldn't swim out of it. But this is really practical, and it's really the term, it's the semantics in which we use in order to give God the glory. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, where?
In the flesh.
I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm going to read this last verse and then I'll come back. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is what?
Amen.
Listen. The important thing that we want to understand about this, and we quote this verse like 40 going north. We talk, me and Jim, we talk about this all the time. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live it by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And now I really, really understand why it has always been at the top of my list on verses. Because it's no longer you and I, it's really Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
Yet not I, but Christ. The newness of the Spirit here is Christ.
And now we're going to fill this in as well.
The newness of the Spirit is Christ living in you. It's no longer about you. And I'm going to share with you the dynamics of how it's Christ and not you, and how it looks like it might be you, but it's really not you. It's Christ in you. Really, and that might seem like a little funny phrase, but it really is something that you and I need to know, because we need to give God the glory each and every time we're doing something rather than taking the glory from God.
Amen.
Because sometimes when we say things, we don't do things. Everything that we do in word and deed, guess what we're supposed to do? Everything we do in word or deed, guess what we are supposed to do? We are supposed to do it in the name of Jesus Christ, giving God the Father the glory by him.
Amen.
Did you understand that? Everything we do in word or deed, we're not doing it in ourselves anymore, because we're dead and our life is hid. Now I'm saying a lot of verses because I know that time is short. That's the only reason. But I want to get to some other things. Okay, but that's really one of the things that we want to look at. Now look at 1 Corinthians 15, I believe, here. First Corinthians 15 and 10. Beautiful. I mean, these verses start jumping off the page here. This is beautiful what God has done. And when you're excited about it and when you're thankful for it, it'll give you the ability to share it. The communication of your faith will become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. It only will become effectual or accomplish its desired result once you recognize every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
If you don't recognize it, your communication is not going to be effectual. Yeah. It's not going to accomplish what Christ wants it to accomplish. So we really want to understand that. Now, 1 Corinthians 15, 10. Now look what the Apostle Paul says. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they are. Now, some people would stop there. See, Paul is doing work. Paul is doing work. See, Paul working. You got the work. We got the work. Paul got the work. But Paul wouldn't stop it there.
That's right.
Because in one sense, he sees it. People understand Paul is doing some things, but Paul couldn't leave it there because he understands the newness of the Spirit. Look what he goes on to say. The Apostle Paul says in verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. He's not going to take any of the credit.
That's right.
And when you and I do something, please don't take any of the credit.
Amen.
You know what I even have to do right now? You ever go to the like little AM/PM stores on the corner and they got the little shamrocks or whatever and you sign your name or whatever?
$4
exactly. I mean, they have it all over the country, so they're just trying to get money for whatever muscular dystrophy or whatever it is. If you feel so compelled to give, if you want to get the glory, put your name on it. But if you want to give God the glory, put Christ's name on it. It's really that simple. Everything that we do in word or deed, we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You are dead and your life is really hid in Christ. And if you're going to be true ambassadors for Christ, the things that you are doing in your life need to reflect Christ.
Amen.
Every little opportunity you get, they need to reflect Christ. That's why whatever we do in word or deed, we do it all in the name of Christ. Let's turn back to Romans 7 for time's sake. Oh, I'm not finished with Philippians. I'm sorry about that. Philippians. I'm not finished with Philippians. Let's deal a little more here. It's a few more touches we want to put on that. Now, we were looking at the Apostle Paul. You remember the Apostle Paul was looking to will? He was looking at his will, and he wanted to perform. Now, look at Philippians, the second chapter, verses 13. Well, actually, we'll start at verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to what? This is what the newness of the Spirit is. It's Christ working in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. This is why we won't get the credit or the glory. Let's go back to Romans here. We're going to fill in some of the blanks. Time is trying to get away from us here, and I hope I'll have you jump in too much, but this is just some of the things we want to do to fill it. Now, the newness of the spirit is pretty much laid out in Romans, the fifth chapter. Look at Romans, the fifth chapter and 17th verse here. And you'll see some of these terms begin to pop off the page. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Go to verse 21 of Romans 5 as well. Now look at this. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto what?
Eternal.
By who? Jesus Christ our Lord. So now we know this is Jesus Christ here. Now, if we were going to contrast the oldness of the letter with the newness of spirit, what do you think would replace the flesh?
Spirit.
Amen. According to the area of scripture that we're studying, Romans,
grace.
Amen.
Righteousness.
Praise God.
Eternal life.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So I didn't have to even put it up here. You already knew. This is the newness of the Spirit. These are the dynamics of the newness of the Spirit. And this is where you know you are at all times.
Amen.
It might not look like it, feel like it, smell like it, taste like it. It's not going to seem like it. But that's why we walk by and not by. Because this is what's true about you even at your darkest times.
Amen.
And it's not true about you because you're so good. It's true about you because. Amen, brother. You have to understand that. So now, understanding who you are in the newness of the Spirit, we're going to begin to develop some verses and look at some verses based on this understanding. Because these verses will jump off the page if you keep them in the context of what Paul lays out in Romans 4, 5, 6, and 7. You know what? Look at something else here. Look at this. Romans, the fourth chapter. Matter of fact, look at Romans 3. Romans 3:25. Romans 3:25. Whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are through the forbearance of God. What's remission of sins?
Forgiveness.
Somebody say forgiveness? Forgiveness, right? Do you realize that your sins of the past have been forgiven? God forgave your past sins. Remember that little card we filled out a moment ago? Now, you say, okay, he forgave our past sins, but I know I have forgiveness of present sins and of future sins. How many of your sins were in the future when God forgave them?
All of them.
That's what I hear, right? But let's read what the Apostle Paul is saying about it. Because this is why we don't want to allow. We have to study to show ourselves approved unto God.
Amen.
As workmen who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The same old answer, if it's true, it's good. But if it's not, we need to change it so that the truth of God's word can transform lives.
Right.
And the truth. Let's go down to chapter 4. See, it's developed. He develops the truth. He forgave us of sins of past. Now look, God's forgiveness of sins that were past, it's an unlimited application. Well, provision is unlimited. Unlimited provision. He provides it for everybody. But the application is limited. What's the requirement in order for you to receive the forgiveness of God? There's one thing needful from you.
Believe.
Amen. Now, if we believe now that forgiveness is applied to our account. Now listen, your sins of the past have been forgiven, but look at the, see, people miss the blessedness when they don't continue to read.
Yep.
Watch out. You miss the blessedness. Now we'll go down. Let's look. We'll read all of four. Let's start at four. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof the glory, but not before God. This leaves out any bragging or boasting. You realize that? If you're a member of the body of Christ and serving in the newness of the Spirit, there's nothing for you to brag about because you're not doing anything. Everything is of God. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. Now, maybe not. I know I'm using a lot of time. In a moment, like I got 3 hours. I'm sorry. Look what it says in verse 3. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted for him unto righteousness. Now look what it says. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Whose faith?
Yes.
Who is he?
Jesus.
You see, it's the faith of Christ on your behalf. Don't listen to those translations, those new world translations, and those NIVs, and they're saying it's your faith in Christ that justified you. Because your faith, you would have something to boast about if it was your faith in Christ that justified you. What justified you before God the Father is the faith of His Son.
Amen.
You have to understand the righteousness that you stand in is the 100% righteousness that was established by Jesus Christ when He said that I came not to put away the law, but to He fulfilled the law on your behalf. And now Romans 8 declared, now the law is fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after
Spirit.
Oh, you have to get it. This is why you're always walking after the Spirit. Now look a little further. We're still talking about this past, present, future sin issue.
Amen.
Even as David describeth the blessedness of a man unto whom God imputeth righteousness. How? Oh, isn't that glorious? Don't you realize that you've been imputed righteousness and you've done absolutely nothing? Look at the flip side of it. What God did, the Bible told us that he who knew no sin was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
God the Father put all the sin on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ didn't perform sin. He didn't practice sin. He didn't do any sin. But God the Father put the sin on him and made him pay the penalty for the sin. Oh, you have to see the blessedness of that. And on that same vein, God flips it and gives you the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And you did not perform and cannot perform any righteousness. And the righteousness that you stand up before a holy and just God is the righteousness of His very own Son.
Amen.
Don't take His glory from Him.
Amen.
And that should give you a motivation to always want to rejoice in what God has done for you. This is the blessedness that it talks about. Verse 7, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. Forgiven is
past.
Iniquities are forgiven. See, look what God cleanses up through the finished work, through the blood of Jesus Christ, forgives us from sins that are past. And then look what He does. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not. Do you realize God is not imputing sin to you today? How many of you have been praying for forgiveness? Do you realize that that's why you don't pray for forgiveness? Because God is not imputing. He's not charging you with any sin.
Amen.
I hope you understand that.
Amen.
This is why the Apostle Paul says, no more I, but sin that dwelleth in me. That sin is not being applied to the Apostle Paul's account. Do you understand that? And guess what? That's his testimony that's true about you. Your sin is not being applied. Thank you, Jesus. You know, not because we're looking around, God, but you can't. You're in the flesh.
Amen.
In its purest form. You never would be able to do it without Him. Do you understand that? And this is what gives you the gratitude and appreciation and the love for Christ that will constrain you to serve God. Or rather, allow Christ to live in you.
Amen.
And through you. Christ gave His life for you, so He can give His life to you, so He could live His life through you. That's the message. Christ wants to live His life through you. And it takes for you to study to show yourself approved unto God as workmen who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing word of truth, in order for Him to do that.
Amen.
Time is gone. How much time I got, Mike? is something I want to share with you. Okay. This is something I want to share with you. Let's make that practical. I didn't scratch the surface of it. It's fine. We're good. This is what I want to share with you. I want to make it practical. I want to make you understand how this works. Some of you have seen me on the internet and you've heard this before, but it fits, so I always use it. When I was young, my grandmother told me not to steal. She gave us an example. She used to put flowers out every year. You know, it's this time of year, she put beautiful flowers out on the porch and different things like this. Now, we lived on the east side of Buffalo, which some of you know, it's not the place you put. But my grandmother put flowers out anyway, okay? Beautiful arrangement. She worked hard on them all winter, and she put them out, and she's proud of them and everything. And one day, somebody steals her flowers. So the next day, me and my little cousins, and we get a little spill. Okay, somebody stole. Y'all better not ever let me get. We don't do that. This is terrible. I worked hard cultivating these flowers and plants. Don't you ever steal. And that stuck. I could see the pain in it. You know, she's like, oh, wow. I'm not going to steal. I see the pain that caused. You won't find me doing. You won't catch me doing that. I'm not going to be a thief. So now, later on in my life, I become a Christian. And I'm going to say Christian right there. And then I hear some people telling me that, you know, the Word of God tells me that thou shalt not steal. And if you do steal, there's consequences to it, and you have to be forgiven for stealing, different things like that. So now I have this mixed variety of thoughts as it pertains to stealing in my life, okay? To being a thief, all right? And this is the contrast I want to make with the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was circumcised on the eighth day. He's always been somebody who followed the law to the letter. He said a Pharisee. He was very, very particular and meticulous about every standard of the law. Everything to the jot, to the tittle. He was very particular about every detail of the law. So now the Apostle Paul, just like myself, we're looking at this situation, and there's some things that I can do as it pertains to stealing or not stealing that will honor God or not honor God. First thing I would like to propose to you is that I could steal. If I stole, would that honor God?
No.
Amen. If I did not steal because my grandmother taught me not to steal, and if you left that bag there or if you left your iPad there and I came in this room and wasn't nobody in there, I could just take and I wouldn't steal it, would that honor God?
No.
No? I didn't steal it? Okay. The Bible says thou shalt not steal, and because the Bible says thou shalt not steal, I don't want to be in danger of, you know, the punishment of if I did steal, so now I don't steal it because the Bible says that thou shalt not steal. I don't steal because of that. Is that honoring God?
No.
Amen. But there is a way that I can honor God in not stealing. You see the results? All of them, two of them create the same outcome, physical outcome. You're going to keep your stuff, I'm going to keep my stuff, and things aren't going to get stole, right? That's the outcome of it. But there's only one way that honors God. Where do I find where it honors how to honor God in not stealing today? What area of the scriptures can I find it? I need to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. See, all those are the conformity of this world. But there's a way that I can transform my mind to line up with what God wants me to do as it pertains to stealing. And once I do it this way, it's no longer I, but it's going to be Christ.
Well, not after the flesh, Romans 8:1.
Amen. That's we're going to get there. I want to deal with that. I know my time's going. Now listen at it. There's one area. Now, since you don't know it, there's one area of the scripture that lets me know it's going to be Pauline epistles. Okay, I thought you'd shout that out. Pauline epistles. Yeah, but it's Pauline epistles. Pauline epistles tells me something about stealing. It tells me, let him that steal no more, but stop there. That wasn't enough. See, grace is the aspect of grace and what God wants us to know in the dynamics of grace. It's not enough just to do something on your behalf. But by love we serve
one another.
So he says, let him that stole steal no more, but work with your hands so that you could give to those that have not. So you understand, that's what the Word of God would tell us today. Now, if I did it based upon sound doctrine, would God be honored in it?
Yes.
Would God get the glory in it?
Yes.
Would it be me? Who would it be?
Christ.
It's Christ in me. So when Paul is, when let's go back to Romans 7 real quick. We're going to run through some verses. I got 10 minutes. No, I got 3 minutes. I'm going to run through some verses real quick. Now we got it. For the good that I would, I find not, but the evil which I would not, that do I. Now if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. See? Now, I'm going to read the last verse here so we get this. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, verse 25, Romans 7. So then with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. You see the contrast there? Why isn't he concerned about serving the law of sin with his flesh? Why isn't he concerned about that? It's dead. It's no longer being held against him. So now let's read some of these verses in Romans 8 because it's vitally important that we understand these. Romans the 8th chapter. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh. Oh, I know some people might have a problem with this. But I'm just trying to let the Bible say what it says. Does that make sense that if you are after the Spirit, it says, therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen.
But look what it says here. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me, set me free from the law of what?
Amen.
Do we see that? Do we see how it? Now look what he says. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. Do you know that Jesus Christ took on the likeness of sinful flesh on your and I behalf to condemn or judge or to put away sin in the flesh so it's no longer an issue with you?
Amen.
Because you are identified in his death. That's what Romans is telling us about, that we're free from sin. We go a little further here. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, what? That doesn't mean you go around always quoting scriptures and going around talking the Bible, but your mind, the Spirit is in you because one day you believe that Christ died for your sins according to scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day. That's what happened. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is an enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. So then they that are in the flesh can not please God. And I'm going to close out there. I don't want to be unthoughtful by just trying to take too much time, but I hope and pray that the concept of walking in the newness of the Spirit can somewhat transform your hearts and your minds to understand all the goodness that Jesus Christ is expressing through that God is expressing to us through his son Jesus Christ, and how he has totally removed us out of the equation to guarantee us eternal salvation and eternal security in Christ. And don't let anybody take that away from you.
Amen.
There's a lot of individual, and in fact, if you have a chance, grab these CDs that are out there. It gives you a lot more information in the details of these of what's going out there. There's some ministries out there that's proclaiming to be grace ministries, but you got to be careful where you get your grace from. You have to be careful where you get your grace from, because all grace isn't grace.
Amen.
So with that being said, let's close in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity that we've had to study your holy and divine word. And Lord, we hope that we were exhorted and edified today to the extent that we can go forth and share this glorious truth with others and give you all the praise, honor, and glory that you deserve. We praise you and magnify you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.